Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, "What if?" Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
There's this feeling within, I just got tapped in. It's been there all the while, patiently waiting for me to open up my heart and lighten up my load. I'm getting grounded in earth so my soul don't yes. Love is a current of energy. Come on, tap into this frequency. It flows through you, it flows through me. Light from the sun is who we be. There's no static in the vibe. On rays of sunshine we rise. All dramatic circumstance is cleared away when we join the dance. In the moment you will see, breathing deep electricity, you channel stellar cosmic sounds as an instrument. instrument I found there. Love is a current of energy. Come on, tap into this frequency. It flows through you, it flows through me. Light from the sun is who we be. Be tapping, 'cause that's what's happening. It feels so good to be tapped in, 'cause that's the only thing that's happening. Oh, oh, oh. Love is a current of energy. It flows through you, it flows through me. Light from the sun is who we be. Oh, love is a current of energy. Come on, tap into this frequency. It flows through you, it flows through me. Light from the sun is who we be.
Tapping in to all who came before you. Tapping in to your ancestors so you can allow the current of energy to flow through you. The current of life. The current of who you really are. Makore, tapped in. If you haven't tapped in this morning, take this moment to tap in. Just take a breath, breathe in the breath of life, the breath of love. Keeps you awake on this side of the planet, or the realm, should I say. This side of the universe, how about that? Yes, indeed. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired, and we support you to tune in, to tap in, that you may know freedom from within as you embrace all of life. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints. Your hosts are Lisa Iverson and yours truly, Life Coach Ade. Yay! That even rhymes. Yes, it's time to go deep, to tap in, to reconnect, to look at life from a broader perspective. That's what it's all about, the spiritual journey, this earth journey. Those who want to take the challenge, because it can feel like a challenge sometimes. Like, well, I don't have to do all of that. That's just too much work. Why can't I just focus on myself? You can. You can do whatever you want to do. As long as, well, not as long. If what you're doing is working for you, keep doing it. You know, if it ain't working for you, find another way. We've taken your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. What is moving in your ancestral blueprint? Is there a flow? Is there a blockage? You're dealing with some blind love or some awakened love. We want to wake you up, with your permission, of course. If you want to stay asleep, that's fine. So, if you want to stay asleep, go back to sleep. It's okay. It's all right. You can come back and do it next lifetime. But for the others who want to wake up, welcome home. Welcome to those of you listening online, on the phone line, those of you listening to the archive, wherever you are. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in on iTunes and all that other good stuff. We're grateful that you're part of the healing, part of the expansion. And thank you for being here. Thank you for saying yes to life. Makua Ray, you can find Makua Ray on Facebook. MIKUAKRAI, Makua Ray. And the song we played is Tapped In. Let's go to Celeste. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Life Coach today. How are you?
I am good. I am here, and I am listening. That's exactly what's going on.
I am looking forward to part two of the Guru Your Soul with you and Lisa Iverson. I learned so much when I come and hang out with you guys on Ancestral Blueprints. I'm so glad you're on a network.
Yeah, you know, you can't lose with the stuff we use. Lisa and I got it going on.
I know that's right. Well, let me get to your announcement so you guys get into this spiritual pie, is what I just saw flash before my eyes.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Spiritual pie.
Mm-hmm. Spiritual pie, indeed. We're all going to dive in for lunch. So hello, family. Welcome to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach today. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on at LifeConversationsRadio.com. Ancestral Blueprints airs on the last Wednesday of the month from 12 until 1:30 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss the show live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Lisa Iverson and Life Coach today can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346. Make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Life Conversations Radio fan like page on Facebook. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Life Coach Today for the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. You can get some soul food for your consciousness when you tune in. Next week, you will be joined by Valerie Love, author, coach, and speaker, discussing prosperous living. You can also find Life Coach Today on Within Radio. His show is syndicated every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. And get ready for this. Life Coach Today will also be back on the playground with Ambassa Safera on the play experience. Have you played with yourself today? Do you passionately love and appreciate you? If not, make sure you join Life Coach Today and Ambassa this Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, be sure to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we connect with introspective tools like tarot, medicine cards, and black angel cards to get you more clarity about your life's journey. Feel free to go to lifeconversationsmedia.com for more information. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. You also have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Day radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu, then click the Ask Life Coach Day drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. We thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Finally, since we're not doing a celestial moment today, let me take this opportunity to remind you to tap into your strength with gentle persistence and justice, for you reap what you sow. The number 8 is running today, and that is the number of infinity and balance. So the number 8 can be either your justice card or strength card in tarot. So you're in the right place for balance to de-guru your soul. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today and Lisa Iverson.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. You're such a pro. I need to come to your school. Jeez, you teach me to be a professional radio host.
Wow. Okay. How long have you been in the business, sir?
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've been watching you, my friend. Have a great show.
All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye. Yes, we are tuned in to our ancestral blueprints, and we express in what that looks like. So even you as a listener, you tuned in to your ancestral blueprints. You better tune in. You might get turned out or tuned out. And Lisa Iverson is in the house, my co-host. Hello, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Happy to be here with you and Celeste and everybody who's with us today. Grateful for our time together, as always.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Lisa Iverson is the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truths in America's Soul. Get yourself a copy. Check out Lisa's website. It is FamilyConstellationsWest.com. FamilyConstellationsWest.com. So Lisa, we want to continue the conversation we were having last month. And you know, the theme topic is de-guru your soul. And there's a lot of things we covered last month, but which we'll talk about. But I want to read today's doesn't matter what it is, it's going to be good. So the description is, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. Lisa Iverson, Life Coach Addict, continues the conversation about setting boundaries and growing together in the student-teacher relationship, with the need to explore knowledge and mysteries in life. But we'll find ourselves working with others who have made it their life's purpose to guide on the journey. How do we create harmonious relationships between students and teachers without giving away our individual
authority. So that's the theme for today's conversation. Last month, we talked about, you know, times when that goes belly up, another phrase they use in England, or pear-shaped, when the relationship between teacher and guru, you know, people get attracted to power or the idea that, you know, to be free, you have to come to me to teach the guru. And what happens after that? We talked about a lot of different things. But before I actually start going into some of the notes of that too, Les, I want to just throw it over to my co-host, Lisa. Anything that you're feeling right now? I'm sure you are feeling something. So,
yeah.
Just yield.
Thank you. I'm just feeling the largeness of the topic. As always, you know, we have these different topics we pick, and each one could be its own many, many conversations. And so I'm just appreciating the all that's there with the topic about teacher-student relationship and learning, and how much wherever we go, we bring our families with us. So our family, the family blueprint that's inside of us, we'll talk about that today, how that influences how we experience and what we're looking for, maybe without even realizing we're looking for it, in a learning relationship. So I'm just appreciative very much of this continuation of the topic. And So you go with your instincts.
Yes, yes, I like what you said. It is so simple, but at the same time, it is so simple, but so mind-blowing. You said wherever we go, we bring our families with us, you know.
Okay.
And that's not something we hear often, and, you know, we... It's a sort of, as we always do on this show, it's this conversation is more than the intellect, and it's a soul conversation. Sometimes I think of the conversation we're having as, I feel like this conversation we're having, you know, when they say something so, is ahead of its time.
Yes.
And I see that it's like we're having this conversation as way is a way of chipping on the wall of separation, if you will, just chipping on the wall of the of illusion, because it is such a simple yet powerful idea that, you know, it's kind of like a soul surgery. People have to take it very gently, because there are those of us who would say, I can't stand my family. I moved away from my family because they were crazy. They were this and blah, 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 blah. But the truth is, wherever we go, we bring our families with us.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. We want to think we're more separate than we really are. And that's kind of a funny paradox as we look for connection. You know, it's this kind of simultaneous thing that happens. And, you know, this topic about teacher-student relationship, it's one of the truths that often goes unseen is how much belonging, the experience of belonging, we talked about this a lot last time, the need to belong is so, so deep in all of us. Our need to belong to a group is so inherent in all of us that how that went for us and our families in ways that our minds understands, and in many ways that our minds really can't see and can't understand, how the experience of belonging happened in our families and our ancestries completely influences how it goes in the teacher-student relationship. So as I say that, I don't know if there's anything you want to say.
Yes, I was just waiting. I was like, jumping that now. Last month, because, you know, it really got my attention when you talked about, you know, what you're talking about, the belonging, how it influences if we're attracted to gurus or the need to be one, you know, to the need. You talked about, you know, those who think their parents doesn't know how to be a parent or didn't know how to be a parent, how to be the best parent, and how this play out in the student-teacher, guru-student relationship, and also the kind of the attachment issues we had as children. And, you know, it's just the more I pay attention to this conversation, the more I look at life, the more I really, you know, it's like looking back in my history and realizing there's so much that is influencing who I am today. Which, once again, your statement, wherever we go, we bring our parents with us, our family with us. This is not something that we talk about. This is not a conversation that we have, because I did a show a few days ago, but we're talking about, it's about you, and we've narrowed that you to me. That's just one person, not anybody else, not your husband, not your children, not your mother, but in the medical field, even they try and bring the family with it, because if something's wrong, do you have heart issues in your family? You have diabetes in your family? But when it comes to a soul conversation or a spiritual conversation, in some areas, we tend to leave that out. And I think it would be good for those who maybe, even if they did hear the show last week, to talk about that belonging first before we go deep into this conversation about creating a harmonious relationship between guru-student relationship. But, you know, this sense of belonging, how that influences us today. Maybe we can talk more about that, kind of break it down.
You bet. We talked a little bit last time, two different kinds of belonging. One is the kind of belonging that comes from the experience we have as a baby with our moms or whoever the person is that takes care of us as a baby. So that's the process of attachment that happens. There's lots of ways people can learn about that, reading online. It's a whole, particularly in the last few decades, it's a very important field of learning unto itself about how important that first, you know, year of life is. You know, how it goes in that process of attaching as a baby to our moms or our caregiver, how that goes has a lifelong effect in our experience of ourselves, how it is we experience relationship, how secure we feel in relationship. And so the idea about who we belong to, you know, to whom we belong, that's a whole field in of itself. That's about us as an individual. The second kind of thing has to do with what happens in a group and our human need to experience belonging in a group. And the first group we have that experience with is our family. And so we talked about those two different kinds of belongings and how they, you know, again, continue to impact us throughout our adult lives. And in my field of work, I mean, I work with both of those fields of influence. Most of my work is centered on the intersection of those two, but particularly the latter, about what happens in the group experience in family life, and how that impacts us, not only how it went for us when we were growing up and then like just that immediate group family field, us, our parents, our siblings, our cousins, grandparents, aunts and uncles. But what happens over the many generations in the group experience, so what happened in the family group experience in our grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, and beyond experience, that also impacts us. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the constellation method is a way that really helps us see how, for example, if we had an ancestor who was excluded from the group, they had an experience in their life that was difficult, that put them outside the family for whatever reason, lots of different circumstances, we can maybe out of blind love have no idea in our mind that this is happening, but we may be somehow having a connection with that ancestor who was excluded from the group and be blindly trying to carry that feeling of exclusion for them. That might, so an experience that was had by an ancestor of ours, what happened for them in the group, we may be feeling that in our lives, playing it out of a blind love for them, trying to get their experience seen. So, you know, that can all in the teaching, you know, this topic, what I'm talking about, how that plays out with a learning or a teaching experience, so many different ways that can get played out. The teacher-student experience, either one, the teacher or the student, maybe could have that kind of a linkage, again, with an earlier family member not seen. So lots of directions for us to go with the conversation.
Indeed.
A little bit of a flavor, though, of a catch-up, a bridge to our last conversation about what we're talking about when we talk about belonging.
You know, as I listen to you, and just, you know, I've been listening for the show and just the conversation and what needs to be shared. Sometimes I can kind of understand why some people just want to numb themselves from life. Like, I don't care about my ancestors, I only think about myself. Because I know for me, I mean, as expensive as I can think, sometimes kind of like, good Lord, you know, I think of things that I'm dealing with, places where I have challenges or places where, you know, weaknesses or strength. And the idea of it being maybe in connection to an ancestor and that I may know nothing about for the most part, don't know anything about, and how that's playing out. To the mind, it's like, well, if that's the case, if I'm trying to exclude myself because there was an ancestor that felt excluded, how am I going to heal that? It almost could, from an intellectual perspective, a logical mind perspective, it can leave people feeling like, so are you just saying I'm doomed? And clearly, that's not what you're saying. And I know that's not the case because we, you know, family constellations is one thing that really brings in. This conversation is about that. Bringing the as you're in your book, revealing invisible truth and how that shows up. We can see things are going on in our lives. And I think of the guru, student, teacher, student relationship. And this morning I was thinking, we're always going to have that. And I also had this crazy thought. I was thinking, I wonder if last month people think, well, you know, there shouldn't be a relationship where there's a guru and a teacher. But that's not what we're saying. And there's all, as far as I know, maybe that will change later on when we evolve off from this planet. But I think there's always going to be a guru-student relationship. And because we're on this planet, I feel we're on this planet to work out, to bring healing to the past and to bring awareness to what wasn't seen in the past, that I kind of wonder if we're always going to have a relationship between student, teacher, guru, student that may be about power, where someone is attracted to power or someone is overusing their power. Abusing the power, really. And but what are the things we can do for those of us who are listening to the show, people who are aware that, you know, based on what happened to me when I was a baby is playing out in this lifetime. How can we actually go about being aware that, oh, I feel like I'm getting out of alignment here, or is it something just happens organically? Because I don't even have an answer to that. So maybe you have something that can help me.
Yeah, you bet. Well, it's good to see that a difference of power in a relationship is not a bad thing. So it's good to kind of go back up to that place. A power differential is not a bad thing. Parents and children, there's a power differential. Parents have more power than children do. It's inherent to the relationship. Doctor-patient, you know, teacher-student.
Yeah.
There's a power differential. So that's not bad or wrong. It's the awareness of it and of that operating in the relationship. And for the person who's got more power, how are they using it? And for the person, you know, for the student, you know, for both people, you know, the thing to consider asking, you know, besides whatever the content of learning is that brings the two people together or that brings the group together, whatever it is that brings, whatever the learning area, the subject area is of learning, that's one thing. But what's going on underneath the surface? Is there some other kind of need that either person is looking to have met in the context?
Right.
So that's the thing that asks for more visibility with compassion for all. So that's where a lot of the times there is some experience underneath the surface happening. So the subject area could be about, you know, physics or the Bible or engineering or wood shopping or spirituality or family constellations. The subject area could be absolutely anything. But underneath what's driving things or what's influencing things in the relationship. And that's where often belonging. My dogs are agreeing.
She said, please, Lisa, exactly. I've been trying to tell humans this, but they won't listen. Your dog is excited about that truth.
The non-human. The animal world has an opinion about what I'm saying. Yeah. The experience of belonging is often, you know, a part of what's happening. So either one of them might be looking for approval. It can go either direction. You know, really, from the student to the teacher to the student. There might be an experience looking for approval, looking for, really that experience of belonging, that awareness is, you know, linking that with family life. Am I expecting from the learning experience something to get met that did not happen in family life? Am I repeating something? All those questions.
You know, are you there? I don't know if it's me or that, but I can hear you now. What you brought up that I don't hear that often. It's this idea, what you were saying, it's like you may be learning physics or it could be Bible studies, but not only, so the how we create harmonious relationship is recognizing what we're learning, if you will, from an intellectual perspective, but to also understand what is happening beyond the surface. What's the relationship? What am I learning there? What is the energy there? In the chat room, Peaceful Maker said, sometimes you recognize that the guru may be the student, while the student may be the guru. And I think that you spoke to that too. And what I think also is happening or maybe what this conversation is bringing up for me is something that I'm very passionate about. I think in the Western world, we have done away with the idea of elders, or even grandparents are not really, you know, they're not really respected. Some grandparents and elders don't want to be called elders, and they don't want to be seen. I'm not old. People call me brother. Don't call me mister. And I think part of the healing, let me put it that way, is that we start seeing those who came before us and developing a sort of a respectful relationship so that they can share the ancient wisdom, you know. And because I'm wondering, in cultures, maybe not so much in the cities that have been industrialized, but maybe in villages where they have elders, where they have gurus, where they have teachers, there's a sort of respect, there's a mutual respect. And I think in the Western world, we're waking up to that just because someone has devoted their life to teaching a particular topic, subject, or their minister, or their teacher, their guru, or whatever you want to call them, that they're still working out their sense of belonging as well. Because it's so easy to say, oh, they're an expert in whatever topic. Oh, so they know everything about it. But it's really, right, it's recognizing that we're all working our life stuff out, you know.
Right.
And don't be blinded by the light that we see. Instead,
right,
see clearly with the light, right?
That's right, yep. Really great point, yep. It's very easy to project that whole power thing and expertise thing for a student to project lots of what's not there onto the teacher. And
yes,
you know, it's a kind of a trance, you know. We talked about this in the last show too, you know, the sheep experience. There's a little bit of a sheep in all of us.
Yes.
That the impulse to follow, the impulse to follow the leader is very strong in our human family, very, very strong. And so it's something I think is quite, there's a deep invitation at this point in our human history to become awake to that phenomena.
Right, right.
Because, you know, without becoming awake to it, well, I mean, I don't want to get negative, but what I'm going to say is, you know, the reality is if we don't become awake to that, it will mean the end of our species. Because that's the direction that we're headed. Without a clear awakeness, there's a need for a tipping point of awakeness in people to not give their power away.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to link this to, we are at the point in our human history where climate change has become the threat to our existence as a species.
Mm-hmm.
Now that did not happen overnight. And if that's going to reverse, we will need to shift this pattern of kind of a blind giving power away for the sake of belonging.
And I think part of it as well, which is really what you're saying, is in a way awakening to the ancient wisdom and knowing that we are not alone, we are not separated, and we are part of nature, and nature is part of us.
That's
and,
right.
I think I'm sure there are other things, but for me, I think that's pretty major. We see, nature, we see the planet is separate from us. We even debate it in political debates. We debate it and try to use Bible to justify it. We debate it because, you know, it's just, but we, it's, okay, I'm not going to go with it. But I'm just going to stay with this train of thought. I just had a crazy thought. But I wonder, because sometimes humans have a track record of not paying attention until there's a crisis. You know, it's like some crazy has to happen.
Right.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, yeah, and that, you know, I know I kind of took us down a big road there, but the how we can see, again, you know, the teacher-student relationship, how do we experience that in our lives outside of whatever a formal, whether it's a classroom or learning, whatever the learning environment is, whether it's a mentorship, you know, we have learning environments in our workplaces, in our faith community, lots of different places we have learning environments. So there can be a formal teacher-student relationship, or there can be a more informal one. How can we be, I'm interested in, how can we be teachers and students for one another? How can we nurture a sense of, you know, each one of us has something to learn from, each one of us has something to teach one another? And this is in connection with the richness and the diversity of our families and of our ancestries. And, you know, if we talk about deguruing your soul, that is,
I know, right?
that is one path to do that.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. So that even the most, perhaps the most difficult people in our lives are the best teachers for us.
Yes, Lord.
You know, we can go that conversation too, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the most difficult people are the best teachers, and the experiences, the most painful experiences, are the best teachers, or the one that keeps coming and recurring, and we keep dealing with it. A few days ago, I was telling somebody, I said, you know, I just surrender to really know that money is one of my greatest teachers. You know, it's like just when I think I graduated a class and I could move on and do my own thing, I'm like, not so fast. Come back now. So we've got some more to do. I'm like, really? Okay. Money said, you go sit down. I'll come up and show you when I'm ready. And I see, you know, the other ways. But the thing that when you talked about, you know, recognizing the student and the teacher and the teacher and the student, and I think, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, because this is what came up for me. I think what is missing is the security, if you will, to be vulnerable. Because as a teacher, to even communicate or even admit or suggest that there's some things, if you're not doing your stuff, you know, it takes, I mean, I take that back, if you're not doing your stuff. Let me stay with the first thought. As a teacher, and you know you have students, it takes a sense of an awareness and a sense of vulnerability to be able to talk about the challenges that you go through as well, which then really invites people in. And then as a student, it takes a sense of vulnerability to think, you know, to even allow yourself to say something that you see differently from the teacher, or maybe something that you're hearing, or you just caught an intuitive nudge. And I think in the Western world, I'm generalizing here, we don't do vulnerability very well. And not only that, not just this whole idea of getting emotionally vulnerable or just really, you know, just exposing your life, but we look at the life we're living. We've got antibacteria for antibacteria. We've got this protection for that protection. We've got protection coming out the wazoo that, you know, if there's so many things we're protecting ourselves from that we feel vulnerable
when we, you know, it's like even the idea of using the what do they call those things? Those cleansers. I don't even think they protect anything. They're just a mind thing, you know. Using alcohol to wash your hands. Okay, cool. I personally love good old soap, but we got all these ideas. We got to take out an insurance for the car, insurance for this, insurance for the animals, insurance. So we keep protecting ourselves that we get to a point where being vulnerable is either as a look to the weakness or as a sickness. And I think part of that is it's what would support us in really recognizing the teacher and the student and the teacher. Because it takes a sense of vulnerability. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great thought, and the result of that extreme protection is we end up protecting ourselves from our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It has a dehumanizing effect.
Yes.
But I would say that the root and the solution is a humility that can only come from knowing where one belongs as a daughter or a son with their parents.
Mm.
So this guru thing happens, and this out of alignment thing happens, the sheep thing happens, the giving the power away, the misuse of power. Those things happen when a son or a daughter has an idea that they know more than their parents.
Mm.
So coming into a place of recognizing no matter what kind of parents a person's mother and father were, whether they were even on the scene, whether they even had met their parents. Some people, they don't, you know, parents come together for an experience of conception. And, you know,
yes.
One person, the other, they're not even on the scene to parent, to raise the child. Even in that experience, to come to a place in a person's soul of really recognizing that those were the two people who were the best ones to pass life on to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very simple. There's no, the mind doesn't have a place with that.
Right.
It's a no mind. It's a deep, deep no mind kind of place. People spend hours, hundreds and thousands of hours now in meditation trying to get to a no mind place. Recognizes how did life come through to me? So when we can move into that place, you know, clearly there's been a lot that's happened over many generations in most of our families because there's a fair bit of a disconnect for a lot of people between a person and their parents, and that elevation, the kind of an elevation in a person's self where they think, oh, I know better than my parents. I'm a better person than them. When a person is filled with a kind of a judgment or a disregard, or sometimes it's a contempt, a superiority, all those kinds of things. And that's there out of pain for sure when that's there. It's out of a pain of loss, trauma, whatever happened. So not to disregard the pain. It's not about that. But you know, as we talk about this, when you speak about vulnerability and teacher-student clarity, gurus usually think they're better than their parents. And the student buys into that. The student has their own thing going on in their relationship with their parents that it makes it easy to buy into. So a lot of people, they're just thinking, oh, you know, I wish I'd have had different parents. Any other parent would have been better than the one that I had, you know, this kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When that's there, it's going to be cloudy.
I wish I could
Yes. I want to ask you this before we take a break. When we come back, I want to kind of sit somehow. I don't know how yet, but when we come back, I'm sure it will come to us, the idea of wherever we go, we bring our family with us. We've been talking about it, but I'm feeling something, a conversation to go deeper. But I want to go back to when you talk about gurus think they're better than their parents. Are you talking about generally or the ones who abuse their power?
No, generally.
Okay. So the role where someone is the leader, you're saying there's a sort of energy that they're better than their parent, and that's why they step into the leader role? Or that's part of their stepping into being the one who knows it all kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
The guru knowing it all. It's the knowing it all.
Yeah. Okay, got it, because I'm slowing this down, because my mind is like, whoa, slow down.
so that
place of knowing it, when we stand in the know-it-all coming to me for the answer as I am the one.
Yep.
Chances
and I'm the
are,
only one. It's not only
right.
that I'm the one, and it's that I'm the best one.
Mm.
You know, there's
yeah,
a lot of special.
Yeah.
It's not a kind of a special thing, you know?
This is funny, because I was saying something to – there's a documentary that I posted on Facebook, and it was something along the line, I think it was called When God Was a Girl, and it's about the influence of the feminine energy of women in religion and way before now God is depicted as a man. And the journalist, the person presenting the documentary is a woman. I mean, that's irrelevant, but maybe it is relevant. I don't know. But I said to Celeste, I said, I can't take it when historians start talking about something that happened 700 BC, and they talk about it as if that's the only thing that actually happened based on what they're saying. You know, they say, oh, back here, this is what happens and how people saw it. It rubs me the wrong way because I'm thinking, you don't know. You don't know. You're just going by your studies, what you learned from university, what your research. It could be, but when historians talk about what happened in the past as if that's the only thing that happened, I just don't even have any time for it. It's like, you know, and I tried to watch the video, the documentary yesterday, but it was just getting in the way. It's just like, no.
Yeah.
Just let the listeners or the viewers know that, well, we speculating, we think, because this is a train of thought, but that's not the bigger picture. And I say to her, I said, you know, I'm skeptical of fundamentalist historians. There's some historians who are fundamentalist about this is what happened, and then later on they tell us it's something different. I think it's that know-it-all thing. But anyway, I digress. Let's take a break. You are listening to the Ancestral Blueprint, and we are speaking to your soul. We are listening to our souls, and collectively we are listening for how to do life, live life, be life holistically from a soul perspective, not just an intellectual perspective. And we trust that this conversation is bringing up something for you to just be with. It's not about judgment. It is about becoming aware, being able to kind of inquiry, self-inquiry. Like, I wonder what my story is, because if it wasn't for your ancestors, the truth is you won't be here. And you are here because of them and who they are, who they were, lives in you. I love what Lisa said at the beginning of the show. Wherever we go, we'll bring our families with you. So no matter how you try and deny them, refuse them, they're with you. I look in the mirror, and sometimes all I see is my father. I'm like, what's he doing here? I'm like, oh, that's me. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We're taking your calls, your thoughts, your comments, and your something. What do you mean by that? Bring it all. We're here to support you on your transformation. Check out Lisa's website to find out more about family constellations
It's Family Constellations with an S, familyconstellationswest.com. And Lisa Iverson is the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truths in America's Soul. And I am the host of Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. I couldn't resist that. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back, even though you didn't go anywhere. That's what we say. Words are interesting, isn't it? You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade, and we are talking about degrowing your soul so you can find your place, even in the figuring out of where you belong in your family, in life, at work. Because it shows up. It shows up at work, too. You know, where you look to a supervisor as the one that knows all and you don't. And, you know, all kind of things show up in life. And life is always nudging us. Life is always reflecting back to us what we need to pay attention to. And, Lisa, I'm thinking, you know, let's talk about this ancestral conversation. I mean, we're talking about it. But I feel to go in that direction. Maybe we can talk about family constellations. We've talked about it, and we're going to take a call in a minute. But I want to talk about how family constellations actually help an individual to have a
deeper or better awareness for what we're talking about. They take it beyond the intellect. Can we do that?
Yeah. You bet. Great question. Yep, great question. So the family constellation or systemic family constellation, that approach is, it can be experienced either in group with a facilitator like myself, or in a one-on-one session. And it is a way for us to, in a very embodied, experiential way, see how what has happened in the generations before us and what has not happened, the places of belonging in our family are still affecting us, and it helps us to step more clearly into our own true place of belonging, where we really do truly belong in our families. There's an irreplaceable freedom and strength and blessing that comes from that movement. And so in the group setting, what happens is that a person has a life issue of some kind, the kind of thing that most of us have at one point or another, you know, a relationship issue or family or health or financial family pattern that's difficult. And the person in a group setting, they pick people from the circle, from the group circle, to represent family members and place them in the room. And so it's a way to kind of bring the picture out of the soul that's housed in the body into 3D right in front of us. And so that's the reality, is we all have these images of family life and of our ancestries. There are images in our family soul that are housed in our bodies, and the approach helps us to bring visibility to those in a very 3D way. And so it's a quick, efficient, undeniable phenomena that happens with this approach that often has some surprise to it, because our minds like to think that we understand everything. Our minds really, there's a deal for most of us between our minds and our egos, you know, where we kind of think we like to know everything. And so we come up with a story in our mind about why things are the way they are, and ways to explain our pain, and usually that somehow creates a stuckness. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So the experience helps to unstick people. It shifts it shifts the stuckness.
Yes,
it's important to know that that also can be a little deflating for the ego. So it's big medicine. It's no, it's the kind of thing that it's important to know that it's not an exercise. It's not a party game. It's big medicine. There's an irreplaceable strength and place for that way that can kind of bring us into this clarity, the kind of clarity we're talking about today.
I want to ask you this. We talked about family constellations before, but I think it's always important to bring it up. When we talk about a sense of belonging and our ancestors living in us, is it fair to say that the challenges that we deal with in life, no matter if it's finances, if it's relationship, or it's have to do with career, is often linked to the connection with those who came before us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the influences for how things go for us in our lives, you know, there are many influences, but this is the piece that often goes unseen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would, Yeah, this is the this family ancestral influence is often the unseen influence.
The unseen influence. So, we've talked about this too, but I want to bring it up in this conversation because people who may not, you know, follow through, say, oh, it's family constellation, sounds good, I want to check it out. But what are things we can do on a daily basis? Because I think there are things we can do to support ourselves and bring in visibility to what's unseen.
Boy, that's a great question. I am a big fan of having a little quiet time each day, especially in the morning, before one starts their day. And, you know, in terms of this family piece, you know, in the quiet time, it's possible to invite in the support and the blessing of one's ancestors into that quiet space to bring that with them into their day. So, you know, sometimes that's really easily accessible for people, and other times it's really not. However it goes for a person, I would also trust that it's just right. Actually, sometimes when something goes differently than how we would like it to go, that's where there's the deepest love operating. So, like, even if that goes in a little bit of a, if it feels a little bit disconnected or it's hard to access that image or hard to feel that, giving it a good home in your heart is quite powerful. So being able to kind of, it's like the layers of an experience to go beyond the superficial how it goes is, that's available to us. It really is. So if in that quiet time, it's in a prayerful state, one asks for the blessing or support of their ancestors, and if they don't notice anything, give the not noticing a place in your heart.
It's simple, isn't it? You know, just recognizing that our ancestors are right here, right now. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to take a call and get ready to release the show. If you have any questions, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. We're going to take some calls, and you're listening to Ancestral Blueprints. Today's theme, today's topic is The Guru, Your Soul, Part 2. We're helping you find the guru in you and the student in you. We'll be right back.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
That's right. That's Carly Jackson being the voice for our ancestors, reminding us that we are one. You can find Carly Jackson on Facebook. Well, we're going to get ready to release the show, and we're just going to end. We were going to take a call, but they're not talking. They're not responding. So, Lisa, I think we can just release the show with the idea, something about this statement. Really, I think it's so powerful. Is and I do have a question, is wherever we go, we bring our families with us. And well, actually, I don't have a question. I just wanted to say whatever comes up for you about that, and how there's an image that comes up, but I'll wait for a minute. I'll wait to share that. It's the idea of knowing that we bring our families with us, because there are some people who just can't stand their family, their brother, their sister, their mom, their dad, or, you know, and they carry that with them. And just the importance of recognizing, you know, releasing the, what's the word? I don't know. I don't want to say the pain, because, I mean, there's pain associated. But maybe releasing the story and allowing oneself to say, maybe there's more. Maybe there's more to this story that I don't know. Listen, anything else you want to just add to that whole thing about wherever we go, we bring our family with us?
Yeah, it's a recognition that other people are bringing their families with them too. So, you know, again, you know, we focus so much on the individual that, you know, there's a collective.
Yes.
This is a collective influence. So in a teacher-student relationship, both people have their families with them. So it's, again, something to just consider. And in the groups that I work with, I use the language about sometimes the soul recruits people. So that's maybe another direction we can go for a future conversation. But, you know, it's another way to think about the complexity of all that can happen in the human, in our humanity and in our relationships. So I could, out of my missing somebody in my own family, out of my missing somebody I really loved and maybe they died, or out of missing somebody who wasn't there and I wish they would have, so many things, you know. I might unknowingly be trying to recruit somebody to try to be my parent or my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my son or my daughter, my grandparents, so many different family positions. But other people might be unknowingly doing the same thing with me. So let letting yourself have that awareness with compassion, all, you know?
Yes.
So that we can just all pick a little, with a little bit more wisdom, with a little bit more humility, a little bit more compassion for all of us. Yeah, that's my last thought. And what a blessing to be with you and everybody who's been with us either live or in the archive. And I'm grateful for our time, as always, and look forward to our next time together.
Yes, yes, yes. That's a powerful image when you talk about, you know, recruiting somebody. When you think of relationships, business relationship, romantic relationship, you know, on a soul level, we're drawing people into our life for a particular reason. But on the intellectual level, in the logical, from the logical mind, we might say, well, that's just my business partner. And that sometimes can create a lot of confusion, especially since they're bringing their family with them and I'm bringing my family with them. Oh, my God.
That's great.
I think we just need to learn to have compassion for ourselves. Compassion. For ourselves, because there's so much going on in the invisible realm that we're not even, we don't see. Lisa, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you for who you are, who you're being, how you show up, and what you stimulate in me, and what you, your work you're doing. It is so very much needed. And because sometimes we do take family for granted, or we take the connections for granted. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I look forward to our conversation next month.
That sounds great. Back at you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Lisa. Life is good. It's getting better. We are getting ready to release the show. Join me tomorrow on Ambassador Show, the Play Experience. And on Sunday, the Play Experience is 7 p.m. Eastern, and with Ambassador Safira. And on Sunday, we have the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan, where she plays around with numbers and all whatever comes to her. And I'm back on Monday with Valerie Love, talking about prosperity. What are you to do? This is Ricky Byers Beckwith. Let my soul surrender. Sometimes it's just about making a space, creating a space. No judgment, no criticism. And even if your relationship with your guru has been one that's been contaminated, bless it. And if it's a great one where you've learned boundaries, bless it. But we are all part of the healing. We love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. Let your soul surrender. That's what it's really about. See you when I see you. And don't forget to tune into Within Radio this Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Syndicated show. Peace and blessings from Lisa and I. We're out.
Listening in the silence. Everywhere you are. Oh, where
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.